welcome to Shine On, the podcast where older people share stories. My name is Lily Craig and I'm the producer of Shine On. In this podcast, we talk to creative older people in Leeds and find out about their lives. Today's episode is called Return to Muck. Marg Greenwood is a writer and musician who has a particular affinity with the Scottish Islands in the Hebrides. In her book, Marg describes how experiences with the people of the islands inspires her poetry and songs, and how she inspires others. Mally Harvey met with Marg at a recent Shine On Live broadcast. Over to Mally.
So, Marg, you trained as a teacher, were a counsellor and a psychotherapist. So what prompted you to take on such an adventure as a trip around the Hebridean Islands on your own?
Well, first of all, there's been more than one trip.
Yes.
The very first time is quite vague in my memory. But what I do remember, because it was over 20 years ago, and I had, I think, been to Shetland and somewhere else as well before then. But the trip that I remember particularly was one with my friend who still lives in Keighley. And she took me, she wanted to go to the island of Col. And we had a lovely time on the island of Col. And I'm not quite sure how it happened, but after that, she wasn't quite as free as me. So I thought, I can do this on my own. And it's something about a small island feels very safe. And so I went to Muck, and I went to, there's my book. quite a number of other islands as well.
I see that. I see that you went to a great deal of different islands over the last 20 years.
Yes.
12 visits, I think, you've had in all.
12? Did you count them?
I did. I have read the book. Why Muck? Why specifically Muck? Because it's only, 2 miles long and 1 mile wide?
Something like that.
Very tiny.
Something like that. There's one road 3/4 of a mile long and you can't take your car there.
So why did you choose Muck particularly to not only write about, but to get to know it so intimately?
I think the main reason is that the very, very first time I went to Muck, I was greeted by the bunkhouse. I'm a great fan of staying in bunkhouses because I'm a skinty sort of person and I don't like hotels and B&Bs and things like that. So I went to the bunkhouse and I was met by the bunkhouse warden called Rosie, and she's become a friend, and I've known her now for over 20 years, and she's roughly my age as well, which helps.
Yes.
Yeah, we became friends and we ate together and we still eat together every time I go back to Muck.
So Muck has become a very special island to you, and you've been able to contribute to the life there, I understand. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, quite soon, maybe about 3 or 4 years after I first went to Muck, I had quite a lot of time on my hands, and I suggested to, I think it was probably the teacher on the island of Muck School, in the island of Muck School, that I could do music with the islanders if they wanted it, and they said yes. And so that music, how would you call it, a project, if you like, lasted about 5 weeks in the first instance, and I ended up singing with the school kids, helping them play if they knew how to play, actually starting off one or two children playing the piano. But not only that, we had an island choir as well, and that was great fun. So the adults came to that, as well as a few of the older kids, and so on. And in fact, I haven't told you this already, but on above my desk at home, I've got I printed it out, a lovely a lovely message that I had from one of the parents of the Muck child, and his name was Alexander, I must say. She wrote to me many, many years later saying that Alexander was now studying at Aberdeen University, music, and she said, it all started on Mook.
Yeah. What a wonderful legacy for you.
Lovely, yes.
And I actually did read that in the book.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Forgotten.
There's a great deal more to talk about in terms of what the work that you've been involved there and the people that you've got to know. But I did wonder, you talked about the advantages of being a lone traveller. You can please yourself, choose where to go. And one of the statements that you made, you can eat your stewed lentils with a tin of sardines without anyone complaining. But do you ever get lonely?
I can't think of any time that I've got lonely. No, not really.
And is that because you've integrated so well there with the people? Because there's only 40 inhabitants, aren't there?
On Mook, yes, there are 40, but they have changed over the years, and things have changed on Mook over 20 years, very much so.
I mean, it's not an easy place to access, is it? Because you can't take a car,
no.
So you have to leave that on the mainland.
Yes.
And when you reach Mook, you've got to take all your food and clothing and put it in a wheelbarrow before you get to the bunkhouse.
Yes.
So that's not easy, particularly as you get older.
No, it's all right. Rosie quite still often meets me off the ferry with her wheelbarrow, and if that wheelbarrow isn't available, I often get a lift, and it's only about 40, 50 yards from the ferry, the ferry to the bunkhouse. It's very close.
It doesn't sound an easy place to live, not for a visitor or for the people that live there. You have a wonderful story, and it evolved into a poem about the way in which the adults have to prepare their children for the bad weather.
Yes.
And it's almost like fighting a bag of cats, really, to get trousers on and things like
that. Yes.
So everything in Mook comes with some difficulty.
Yeah, I think we're pointing to quite severe weather, what you're saying. I mean, they don't have severe weather the whole of the time. But it is, I did witness this quite often, that the parents of very young children do have to sort of, help them, and especially if there's a baby around and the baby's crying and that sort of thing, they do have to make sure that they're in their wellies and all that sort of thing. And when you go into the school, the first thing you actually see are piles of wellies on the floor, because they have to take off their wellies to go into the school. So,
I mean, your book is peppered with stories of the place, but also folk stories,
yes,
and songs and music and poetry, all of which you have written and been inspired by the place and the people of Mook. Mm. And you've passed some of that on to the people of Mook, haven't you, in terms of what you do with them?
Yes. Strangely enough, though, Mook itself doesn't have a huge background of stories, of folk tales, for example. I'm not quite sure why that should be, but for example, I'm thinking of my relationship with the island of Gia, where there was a particular folk tale which really has inspired me, and that's about a brownie of Gia. And the kids at the school in Gia knew all about the brownie, and they knew quite a bit about the brownie because it was sort of in the round. Whereas in Mook, it's not quite the same. I don't know if I've answered the question properly, actually, Mally. Sorry.
Well, I know that you're approaching a big birthday ending in a zero, and I did wonder whether your time at Mook or visiting the islands is over, or do you plan to go again?
I plan to go again in April. And strangely enough, I was thinking about this difficulty. I've always managed it just about I usually go by car and stick the car in Malaig, and then you get the boat, and it's 2 hours on the boat until you get to Muck. And it's not as difficult as it sounds. But I was thinking about this time when I go in April and maybe taking the car, but maybe going by train. And could I take all I need to take? You know, when I'm just... by car, it takes 2 days. I can't drive the whole way up
one
there.
One day.
Yeah. If you've got a lot of luggage, it's probably best not to take a lot of luggage.
It just occurs to me, though, however, and this is just a practical thing,
yes.
You go for 5 weeks. Who does your washing?
Oh, in the bunkhouse. You've got a washing machine. Piece of cake. And by the way, if anyone's really interested in this, in Malaig, there's a co-op very, very close to the port where the boat comes in. And Malaig co-op is very, very used to people like me, and also the islanders themselves. They organise that the big co-op shop that you've done can go on. You can organise that they put it on the boat for you. So it's not the end of the world. There is, by the way, on Merck, there is a shop in inverted commas, which is really a tea room.
Right.
And you can go and have a little bite to eat there, but not main meals, not as far as I know, unless it's changed.
So, Marg, after all these years and what you've put into Merck, what have you got out of it?
Oh,
I didn't prepare you for that question,
no.
Did I?
No. Well, you can't beat the beauty of, for example, the views from Muck of the mainland on one side and of the other islands on the other side. You cannot. You go up the hill, and you don't need to go up the hill. You can just go to the shore of Muck and see wonderful, wonderful sights of rum and of egg. There are two of the small islands, and then in the far distance you've got Sky. You just can't beat the...
Okay.
The
And reading your book, it's been the inspiration for much of your poetry and your songs.
Yes.
And I wondered if, just to finish us off, you'd like to sing one of your songs for us.
I'd be very happy to. I won't sing the whole song, Mally, because what I'm going to show off here is that the tune that I made up for my song called A Walk on the Isle of Mug, I actually made, during lockdown, I made a song with the same tune called A Walk in Leeds City in Lockdown. So I'd like to sing, a couple of verses of each one.
As a comparison.
Right. Pardon, as a comparison, yes.
Of course, it's perfectly all right. But you're an absolute star in terms of being an example of what older age and creativity can be.
Thank you.
Life doesn't stop, does it, Margot?
I hope it doesn't.
No, I
yet.
Hope so too, actually. It does stop at some stage. Yes. Are you ready to give us a song?
Yes, okay. I was going to go use this microphone,
yes,
wasn't
okay.
I? Yeah. So, okay, so this is the song that I wrote for Muck, and it's called Walk on the Isle of Muck. And I'm sorry, normally I sing this accompanying myself on the piano, but there ain't no one here at the moment. Let's sing the song of the beach, of the fish trap, the harbour of whey, the harbour of clams, the hill of the goat, the grassy lochan, the dark green shade of the fang of the dockans. We'll pass the hollow of the bowls of meal, where sore-throated corncrakes tease and breed, which leads to the bay of the brow of a hill. The inlet blasted by gannets and gulls.
Thank you, Margot. Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this, there are more Shine On podcasts to listen to. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more extraordinary stories on our website. Articles, interviews, and features by and about fascinating older people in Leeds and Yorkshire. Go to www.theshinemag.com. If you have an idea for a podcast or would like to join the storytelling team, contact us at podcasts@shinemag.com. Shine On is brought to you by the makers of Shine Magazine, with support from Chapel FM. Season 1 is funded by Leeds Inspired.